Welcome back to another episode of the Mac Rumor Show. I am Dan. Hartley is here as always. Good afternoon, Hartley. How are we doing this week? We feeling good?
Good, yeah. Getting some announcements now at last, so
yeah,
it's good to actually.
I thought we were gonna have one of those weeks where it was like every day we got. I mean, I guess we have been getting like an Apple Newsroom press release every week.
Yeah, just
every
maybe day. Not quite the ones we wanted every day.
Yeah, we did on Monday get the announcement for the brand new MacBook Air with M3. So we have the 13 and 15 inch models being upgraded to get the M3 chip, which is it's the best laptop that Apple offers, just getting better. So that's good. There are a few other changes that we can talk about. Actually, let's just jump right into that right now. So what were your first impressions of seeing the MacBook? Were you just kind of like, or were you excited? Or
I mean, the thing is, we have to remember that in its last incarnation, the MacBook Air was fully overhauled. So we can't really expect too much from it when everything was changed in 2022. They took away that tapered design. We got MagSafe 2. We got the new keyboard design with the full-sized function keys. We got, obviously, the newer design with the notch. Even the new color options. Everything was changed. So this year, yeah, I think we were expecting a fairly small upgrade. It's just a keep things fresh in the lineup. You know, that model, the previous model, which is still on sale from 2022, has the M2 chip. So 2 years ago, nearly, it's time to give that a slight upgrade so that if you are someone that is walking into an Apple store and buying a brand new MacBook Air, you want the latest generation, there is an option for you with silicon that is not 2 years old. So that's really what it's for. So nothing too much to complain about. It's a decent upgrade. It's just nothing to really get too excited about. I think people would agree with that.
So let's talk about some of the things that did get changed here. Let's focus in on a few things. The one that's intriguing to me, because one of my biggest gripes about the last gen was that the midnight color looked so good and also looked just like a disaster because of the fingerprints. And so Apple apparently updated the anodization seal to reduce fingerprints on this new midnight finish. So now the reviews have come out today, this morning. So we're recording this on Thursday. MacBook Air comes out tomorrow, or when you're listening to this, on Friday. But some of the reviews that, you know, from people that have had it for the last few days, I feel like it's kind of been, from what I've gathered so far, it's real early. I haven't watched them all. It appears that some people think it helps. Some people think it doesn't help. So what do you think, based off of some of the images and stuff? Do you think it's going to be more like the Space Black, like the anodization that was on that?
Yeah, so I believe it's the same technology that Apple introduced with that finish. So I would have thought it is better. I think I'd have to see some pretty extensive tests to be convinced that if Apple's saying they've introduced this technology and they've brought over that finish, that it actually, if it isn't, I'd be very surprised if it is not actually better. It must be. It's nice to see, because that finish is really nice. I think it's easy for us to forget now, nearly 2 years on, just how excited people were about that midnight finish on the 2022 MacBook Air. So, yeah, it must be a very popular selling unit for them. Good to see that upgrade. I think we sort of knew when those MacBook Pros came out with Space Black that it was really a matter of time before it came to the MacBook Air. Or at least
I'm thinking
the finish, the process.
Right. I'm guessing they probably learned and took the feedback from people about that. And then applied it to the MacBook Pro. And then since it worked out, it's pretty fingerprint resistant for the most part. It's also a lot darker, but like a weird dark. Like, I feel like the midnight color is darker than the Space Black in a weird way to me.
Yeah, like, I get what you mean.
Yeah, even though I guess technically black would be darker than navy blue.
It's probably just the bluish tint. It's because it makes it look kind of cooler.
Yeah. So, but like I've had no complaints on that on my MacBook Pro with the Space Black cover there. But the Midnight, though, I did love. I did order the Midnight again so that we could test this out. But I've also been a fan. I have it right here in the 15-inch form factor. I like the Starlight. I think, and this also kind of looks bad. I don't know. You see all those needs a little bit of a wipe down. But like, yeah, I really like the starlight color. Is it gold? Is it silver? Who knows? Only Apple does. Do you want to get into a color debate here?
I'm not a huge fan of starlight.
You're not? So what would you buy?
I feel like, well, personally, I would buy silver because from now on, generally, I made an exception for my iPhone 15. My iPhone 15 Pro.
You're already on the 16, aren't you?
Yeah, like when I'm writing every day iPhone 16, sometimes I just have to do a double take and make sure I don't own an iPhone 16.
You don't.
So yeah, I got the natural titanium for my iPhone 15 Pro. But for everything else, I get silver. And I very nearly did get the silver or white titanium, silver titanium, whatever they call it for the iPhone 15 Pro. But just because it goes with everything, it's the classic Apple finish. Whereas the thing that bugs me with Starlight, because I did have an iPad mini in Starlight, is that it just, when you put it on your desk with all of your other Apple devices, and if they are all silver or you've got some other colors going on there, the mismatching nature of it bothers me because they're not complementary. It's not like Starlight complements silver. It just looks like they've sent you the wrong batch of silver.
Different. It's because it's different. That's why I gravitated. Yeah. I'm like, oh, this looks good, I guess.
I think my feedback to Apple about it would be either make it gold, more gold, or make it more beige and actually kind of lean into the kind of classic Mac aesthetic. But at the moment, it just looks so close to silver. It's a little bit odd. Like even with the Apple Watch is available in both silver and Starlight. But years ago, it was silver and gold, and they were clearly different finishes. Whereas now, if I show someone a Starlight Apple Watch, they're going to squint and say, well, I don't quite know what color that is. I don't know if that's a good thing.
This episode of the Mac Rumor Show is sponsored by Notion. Most of you already know how much I love Notion. There's no shortage of tools out there that you can use for taking notes and doing tasks and managing all of your content. But there's really no other tool like Notion that can do all of that and so much more. I use it for notes, docs, project management for the podcast, for our videos on the main YouTube channel. I use it for everything, and now that AI is involved with Notion, it just makes things so much easier. It has the power of Notion AI built right inside of it and works across your entire workspace, and it's been a total game changer for my productivity. I actually just used it the other day to summarize a long-form script into a short-form script. It's perfect for things like that. So as I mentioned, Notion combines your notes, docs, and projects all into one space that's simple and beautifully designed, and it's really customizable. And the fully integrated Notion AI helps you work faster, write better, and think bigger, doing tasks that normally take you hours in just seconds. So you can save so much time and write a lot faster by letting the AI handle the first draft. You can jumpstart a brainstorm or turn your messy notes into something a little bit more polished. Notion is used by over half of the Fortune 500 companies, and teams that use Notion send less emails, cancel more meetings, save time searching for their work, and reduce spending on tools, which helps keep everyone on the same page. So try Notion for free when you go to notion.com/macrumors. That's all lowercase letters, notion.com/macrumors, to try the powerful, easy-to-use Notion AI today. And when you use our link, you're supporting our show. That's notion.com/macrumors. Thanks, Notion, for sponsoring this episode. Look up the S7 Edge, Samsung Galaxy S7 Edge. You're going to hate me for this, but I feel like I really like this color. I don't know what color. I'm guessing it's gold. It's gold. That's what they label it as. I kind of like that
it's
color.
It's kind of like a champagne color.
Yeah, I like that.
I don't mind it, but I guess it just seems odd to me when it's so close to silver at the moment with Starlight. Like, it really does depend what lighting you've got it in. If you have your silver MacBook in warm lighting, it just looks Starlight. So to me, it's kind of just like, what's the point?
Colors,
I'm never going to stop saying this about Starlight. So
no, it's all subjective.
We'll have this discussion every year. It's tradition for us at this point.
Yeah, it is, especially when new colors come out or updates to the color. But we'll find out. I'll get greasy fingers or something and wipe it all over the new MacBook and see what happens. I wish I had my other one. I don't have the M2 anymore. I'm very disappointed because how am I supposed to compare? I'll just find somebody that does. If anybody wants to loan it for a fingerprint test, let me put my greasy hands all over it. That'd be much appreciated. Okay, so one of the other bigger changes, in my opinion, and one of the things that, like, I don't know, is really, yeah, it's one of the biggest differences, aside from, like, the M3 chip. Like, we'll talk about the M3 chip, but one of the biggest extra features is the fact that it can now support up to 2 external displays, but you can't keep the lid open. You got to close it. So you ultimately have to have a keyboard, mouse, external, and you couldn't have 3 displays in theory, which is the reason why it needs to be closed. I know, person who's typing right now in the comments, there's Display Link Manager, you just use that. Like, I know. The reason why this is significant is because you don't need third-party software to have 2 displays. So yes, in theory, any Mac right now that can't support 2 displays, which I guess is last year's model, you can use the Display Link Manager software and be able to do that. I get that. And that's great. And honestly, if you need that, then go to that, because I think you can keep your lid open too. So you could do 3. And if that's something that you want, absolutely go download it. I don't know how much it is, but it's probably worth getting it. Okay. A lot of people like it. But that's not how this works. A lot of people who buy the MacBook Air, they don't know that this look, they just want like first party solutions. And so it's nice that Apple is now giving you the option that if you have 2 studio displays, or just 2 larger monitors, then, you know, using one large monitor and your 13 or 15 inch display that comes on your MacBook, you now have the ability to close it up and use 2 larger external displays at the same time. So Hartley, with all that said, are you going to yell at me saying, just use Display Link Manager? Or are you, I don't know what that voice is, by the way, and who that person is. And I'm sorry if you sound like that. I don't want to offend you, but,
Yeah, I mean, it's the thing that's intriguing about this is that it's being enabled via a software update as well on the entry-level MacBook Pro. But the actual amount of displays being driven here is not different to the M1 or M2. So, in theory, I really can't think of any reason why this could not be enabled with the software update on the M2 machines. It just strikes me that...
You can't think of any reason, Hartley?
Well, any reason I can't think of any practical reason. I can think of a profitable reason.
I don't know
if I can think of a practical reason. So it's not really a meaningful change in that sense, because it's not like you now can have 3 different displays. In terms of what you can actually look at, it's the same total number of displays that you could look at before. It's just a different combination of them. So it's good. It's a step up. I'm glad we got it, but I don't want to give Apple too much of an easy ride for it, this one, because I feel like really you should be able to enable this on M2 machines. You know, some people, they bought their M2 15-inch MacBook Air in what, June last year? That's not that long ago, 8 months. So, you know, a lot of people that have bought that 15-inch machine has been a lot more recent than that. And now it's being enabled via basically just software on the new machines.
And I had somebody ask me, I believe, it was a few months ago, but they were saying, can you run 2 external monitors like natively? And I, you know, You got some good construction going on back there. Sounds like phones are vibrating off the table. Anyways, I wanted to tell them like, yeah, you could, but then I'm like, I don't know if he's going to do Display Link Manager. Like, I just don't know if that's a thing. So I'm like, you can via software, but like, no, you ultimately can't do it natively. And they were like, that's not good. So now I feel bad. Like, oh, well, they probably still bought that MacBook Air, and now if they would have just waited like 3 months, they would have been able to do it natively.
But also, I don't know how many MacBook Air users are looking to have 2 external monitors and the MacBook Air open as well. Because sure, I will say that the studio display, you can't daisy chain it. As far as I know, there's only a single Thunderbolt port.
No, which is the absolute worst thing about owning a studio display.
Yeah. And that leads me to believe that, you know, there's not many external displays that do enable you to daisy chain via Thunderbolt that are affordable. You're not going to be able to do that with your, you know, $200 or $300 LG 4K monitor that you buy on Amazon. So I don't know how appealing that will be to many MacBook Air users. It's definitely nice to have, but I think Apple's defense is just the sort of people that are buying MacBook Airs. Like if you're buying you know, if you're a student, it's your first Mac, you're not worried about that. You can't afford the two Pro Display XDRs. Don't worry about it. And if you are in that demographic, then that's a reason you're to buy the MacBook Pro. So I understand why Apple Apple has moved things in that direction. It makes sense to me.
That's true. I didn't really think about that. Like, there's not even enough ports to sustain doing what you want to do. And then you'd have to get a dock. And then at this point, like, if you're going to be using it like that all the time, then why not just get a desktop? Like, a MacBook
Pro.
Just get
a MacBook Pro. I mean,
the 14-inch MacBook Pro is perfect.
If you are already in the market for the 15-inch MacBook Pro and you upgrade it to 512 gigs of storage.
15-inch
The 15-inch MacBook Air, and you upgrade it to 512. I believe you're only $200 short of the 14-inch MacBook Pro, which also has 512. So,
and getting this native display, dual display support anyway. So, I mean, you get
mini LED, you get an HDMI port. Like, if you want to think about display tech, you get way and ProMotion. So, there's way more if you are happy to spend that money. But then, you know, it depends which MacBook Air you're looking at.
Damn, is the MacBook Air the one to recommend to everybody? Or not the MacBook Air, the MacBook Pro, the 14-inch, the baseline model, is that the real computer that everybody should be getting then?
I think it depends. I think that there's three sort of groups, and you'd have to determine which you fall into. I think if you are looking for an entry-level Mac, you are looking for the most portable Mac, and you know, money is the concern, but also...
Yeah.
You know, like for me, if I want an extra Mac to like throw in my backpacks, I want to work from a coffee shop or something, the 13-inch is going to be that model. And also probably I would say the M2 model. I don't really think it's necessary to spend the extra $100 unless you are looking at future-proofing, unless you're determined, I'm going to keep this thing for 10 years. So it really matters to have like dynamic caching or whatever stuff that you get with the M3. The other group would be, you're basically the same, but you really care about screen real estate. You don't care about anything other than just doing basic tasks. You want to do email, you want to watch some Netflix, but you have no interest. You don't even know what ProMotion is. You don't care what mini LED is. You don't use an HDMI port for anything. And you don't want a heavy, like larger, thicker laptop. If that's you, then the 15-inch is the perfect model. But if you are looking at that 15-inch, and you think, actually, I do like ProMotion. I maybe have a Pro iPhone. I enjoy ProMotion. I'd like a bit of better display tech here. I'd like active cooling as well, because I'm going to do some, I don't know, 3D graphic design. Yeah, like whatever. And I want just a little bit extra headroom on that performance, even though it's the same chip. Then absolutely, you should spend that extra $200 and go for the MacBook Pro. But I think that you can quite clearly fall into those groups. And even to some extent, I'm sort of hating on the like the 13-inch M3 model there. I don't mean to. It's just I don't think that unless you really want to future-proof, I can't justify an extra 10% to get that machine. There's just not enough different for a lot of customers. You know, I don't think people are going to think, oh God, this has got Wi-Fi 6E. I must have that for an extra $100.
Not to mention, I'm already rocking Wi-Fi 7 at my house right now.
Yeah.
Wi-Fi numbers and generations and tech is moving way too fast, because like all the devices are like two generations behind.
Yeah.
Yet I have a router at home right now that I can't even like.
And it's expensive to upgrade.
Oh, dude, it's like $2,000. Now I will say, it's a really nice router. It's quad band, so now I have more ability to separate. It's really just for IoT is why I wanted it. Like I have too many devices that are clogging up things. And so I want to send them down their own paths and be separate from when I'm like actually needing, because in my basement, I couldn't get my Mac to work properly. And I'm like, this Mac is like got the latest chip in there. It should work. And I can't get good Wi-Fi because I've got too many other things clogging it up. So anyways, yeah, you're right. That's definitely going to be the case. Like if you're not, no one needs Wi-Fi 6E. No one that's going to buy this machine is going to be like, I need that. Now, I will say, please, 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 if you're, let's just say for the sake of argument, you're like, listen, I don't care what you guys are saying. I want to get an M3 MacBook Air. I don't care what size you're getting, but like you're dead set on getting a MacBook Air. Which configuration should you get? for the love of all that is holy, please do not get the 256 model. Just don't, unless you're really, really looking at like, hey, I just want something that I can write off a quick email to, and I need to look at, you know, what's happening on, I don't know, yahoo.com. Do you still look at yahoo.com for news? I don't know. If like that's you and you're like, I only need to do like a couple bill pays, write off a couple emails at home because I just don't want to type it on my phone. I've got to send something super long, whatever. Okay, fine. Then you can probably get away with the absolute cheapest model. But otherwise, if you're like, listen, I need this for work. My work isn't that intense, but like I'm going to be on it all day, every day. I need to be able to have multiple Chrome tabs be open, multiple Safari tabs. Safari is no innocent child in this when it comes to having lots of, it's constantly the bearer of what's like harping down on my chip. So get the 8-core, 10-core, please, for the love of God. Do not get 256. At least do 512. If you're like, Dan, what's your perfect configuration? Go 8-core CPU, 10-core GPU. If you can swing 16 gigs of RAM and 512 or a terabyte, my perfect model would be 8, 10, 16, and 1 terabyte. Just going down the list. That's what I would do. If you can do that, you'll be happy. That machine will last you for many years, and you'll be fine. So, I don't know. Hartley, do you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, that's what I would do. That would be my choice. If I was using this my full-time machine, I would absolutely go for that configuration. But I will say, because people say it every single time you give this recommendation, Dan, where you say, you've got to upgrade this, you've got to upgrade that. I will say, if you are like an enthusiast or you use your computer for like intense tasks, like video editing or whatever, absolutely, then you do really need to upgrade those things. But if this is like your first Mac, or you are just buying this as a, maybe like you are considering whether to buy like an iPad or this, then you are okay with the entry level. I think it is okay.
I think that's what I said earlier. If you're using an, I don't know. Here's the thing. 256 can fill up easily if you're importing your photos, if you're downloading freaking anything, you're gonna fill that up pretty fast. So at the bare minimum, at least do yourself a little, just give yourself a little bit of room and get 512. Is 16 gigs of RAM necessary for you? I don't know, but I feel like you're gonna notice your 8 gigs of RAM, your memory, slowing down faster than you might think. 8 gigs is pretty ridiculous in 2024. I'm just gonna be quite honest with you. But Apple is really good at software. And so it's not as noticeable as, say, you picked up a Windows laptop that only has 8 gigs. I mean, good luck. You're not doing anything on that. So, and like, but we have phones that are coming in at 12 and 16. So I'm just saying, like, I don't know. I think maybe this one right here, $12.99, 8-core, 10-core, 8 gigs and 512. That's probably your bare minimum in my opinion. I think that's your bare minimum. And if you were like, hey, I'm a little worried that I have too many programs up at once. I'm not one who likes to just focus on one thing. Maybe I want to use Stage Manager and like have a bunch of things going on at once. Then I would say if you can afford the extra, how much is it? It would put you at $200. That's a lot, but I think it'll help you out and you can get that 16 gigs of RAM. Can't wait to hear your comments down below on how I'm wrong, but I don't know. It's just my own experience. I don't edit too much on these machines, but when I do that configuration, I absolutely can and will be taking it on the road with me. I'll be doing it next week, and I'll make whatever content I have working on it. I can get away with it. So it's not something I'd want to do every day, but I can absolutely get away with it. So if that's somebody like you, a budding, content creator or graphic designer or something, you can get away with it until you can afford to, you know, upgrade to something beefier. And the M3 chip, I said we talk about it more, but I think we've already done it justice because the M3 chip is so good that it allows you to be able to do these things. Just take care of some of those, in my opinion, crucial specs. But Hartley disagrees, so it's okay. It's okay.
I don't wholly disagree. I just don't think that it's essential. I don't think it's essential.
If you could do 16 gigs of RAM or 1 terabyte, which one would you say is not essential?
But it depends who you are. Like, if you are someone.
No, just for you.
For me, yeah, it would be 16 gigs. because I multitask a bunch. I've got so many apps open. So okay. I know that that's what I would appreciate the most. But you know, some people do download a lot of content. Some people don't. You know, increasingly, if you do emails, maybe you write some essays, and you even if you just play a couple of mobile games, to be honest, on Apple Arcade, the 256 is fine. It is fine for light users, because I don't think that like I don't
can you do,
I don't download
you can't
that
do
much.
16 gigs of I don't think you can do 16 gigs of RAM and 256, can you?
Yeah, I think you can.
You can do 24. That's why. No, you can't. Nope. You click 16 and it automatically upgrades you to the 8-core, 10-core automatically. So
okay. Yeah, I didn't know that.
You can't do it on that base model if you click 16 gigs. You can still do 256 though. That's what I originally said, but I was also wondering if you could still like stay within that base model with the CPU and GPU, and you technically can't. But you can do 256. Here's the thing about that though, and we've talked about this before, but if that 256 does fill up on you and you're rocking 8 gigs of memory, you're going to be pissed, because then it's going to start doing the memory swap thing and it's going to be having problems. So I just am trying to let you know so that you aren't mad when you're like, Dan, why do you say this is the best computer? This is trash. Well, you gotta figure out what's best for you. I do want to hear from you guys though. Like, hit us up, X, the comments of YouTube. Tell us what you use your Macs for and what work you do and what configurations you have that you think is more than enough. Because I'm just genuinely curious. I have a Mac Studio. It's 100% overkill. I don't need that. I don't need it. I like to think I do. I don't. I can get away with not doing it. It's really nice to have, but I don't need it. So I'm just curious what everybody uses and what they need. What else? You get support for 2 external displays. We already talked about that. Voice isolation and wide spectrum microphone modes. That's.
I'll be honest with you. I'll be honest with you, Dan. I didn't know that the MacBook Air didn't have this.
I didn't know that either. Honestly, I thought all new Macs that had. Yeah. So it must be, are the mics then upgraded itself to be like what you get in the MacBook Pro?
I don't think so.
That has like a very specific-y like
that's
podcast.
Studio, they call studio, it studio yeah. quality.
Which by the way, it sounds so good. Like
yeah.
you record something on that via voice memos and then throw some of that voice isolation in like Final Cut. That's what I do for pretty much any audio, because voice isolation is so good from what Apple does. If you throw that on there, or if you're on a Teams call and you check the voice isolation effect that's in there, or the option, you sound really good. So you could get away with, if you are like, I can't afford podcast mics, you could get away with some solid audio doing it that way, just as long as you're not in like a super echoey location. But again, if you throw the voice isolation, it doesn't really matter. So yeah, I didn't know that it didn't have that on there either. Shame on us. I'm sorry. Oh my God, how could you not know everything about every spec? But I didn't know, and hey, good for those who want it. So you'll get enhanced voice clarity in audio and video calls. Wi-Fi 6E for those who are just so excited about that. So that's the MacBook Air. I don't think any reviews are going to be bad. I can't imagine. Maybe some of the things that we talked about that were little minor gripes people might talk about, but I'm guessing the reviews are going to be overwhelmingly positive just because it's a good machine for a good price. It also makes me think why anyone would ever buy an iPad over this, honestly, an iPad Pro, at least. I still struggle to see how one, except for the fact that you can use one like a tablet.
And you can do, if you like handwriting, you like illustration, I understand that as well, because the Apple Pencil is really good. But
yes,
if you are doing most other things,
yeah, like real work,
yeah, I'm not so sure. I have to admit,
there's like a whole thing. People are going to come at us. I know many creators that only use their iPad, and they'll be like, "Well, this is what you do," and yeah, so I can't judge.
I just can't decide if I love or hate the iPad, and I am tempted, because several times I've had a lot of iPads, and I find that maybe every 4 or 5 years I just decide, oh, I don't like the iPad Pro anymore. I'm gonna sell it, and then I'm gonna go without an iPad. And every time I end up buying one because I miss it, and I feel like I'm at the stage in the cycle now where I feel like, no, I'm going to sell my iPad. Right, I'm not going to buy another one. But it will be interesting to see, because I'm going to perform that experiment.
Well, I was going to say, you're going to sell it because the OLED iPads are expected to be coming very soon. In fact, like two podcast episodes from now, we might be talking about either the iPad Pro in hand or coming out on that day, or we at least have the announcement of it. So that's going to be, we can talk about that in a minute, but before we do that, what do you think's next from the MacBook Air? Where do you think we can go from here?
Well, the main upgrade that is rumored at this point in the pipeline is OLED. So okay. I believe that we are getting that in 2027, maybe.
Oh, that's way too long.
And I think that it's not, I don't know if I'm getting confused with the MacBook Pro here, but I don't know if both sizes are getting OLED at the same time. So it may well be that one of them goes. Is
the MacBook Pro supposed to get OLED this year?
Next year.
Or is it next year?
I think it's next year.
Also disappointing.
So we are going to transition most of Apple's devices to OLED. That is, looks like what's going to happen. We're going to have the iPad Air is going to make that transition, the iPad Mini, and all MacBook models. And this is going to take a few years. But yeah, 2027 sticks in my mind. I might be wrong about that.
So according to this really good website, MacRumors.com, if you guys haven't heard of it, you should definitely check it out. Samsung to join OLED MacBook push in 2027.
Yeah, I wonder who wrote that article.
That was you. So that's why that sticks in your head.
Yeah.
Jeez. We should swear more on this podcast, because I had some awesome names for you just now. Apple's OLED roadmap, new iPad mini, foldable. Yeah, I mean, it all seems to be pointing towards 2027, which is so disappointing.
So yeah, that will be the main upgrade, which I am looking forward to, because I've never had a MacBook Air. It's one of the few Macs that I've not, at least one of the Mac product lines that I've not owned. I've had almost every single other one.
You've never had a MacBook Pro?
MacBook Air. MacBook Air. It's the only Mac product line that still exists, other than the Mac Studio, because that's kind of new, that I haven't had. And I've always wanted one, but I've never just sort of had a reason to choose it over anything else. OLED might get me there, because I love the design, particularly of the 15-inch. Whenever I go in an Apple store and I kind of gravitate toward different tables, always what I go and have a look at is the 15-inch MacBook Air, because it just seems so thin. And I know that it's sort of an illusion, because the device itself is larger, so it's just kind of more impressive. But that's just something I would really like to have one day, and I think OLED might get me there.
What's taken so long on the whole OLED thing? Like, is it Samsung? Because Samsung has, they just released another laptop like this week, or very recently, the Galaxy Book 4 360, I believe. Which, by the way, Samsung, if you're listening and you want to send that my way, would love to check it out. It's a great little competitor against the MacBook Air, but that has an AMOLED OLED, same thing, same thing. Has an OLED display on it. I mean, like, what is it? Samsung being like, hey, we're putting it on ours first, and then you'll get it. Or
my understanding is that it's a price issue, mainly, and because Samsung actually manufactures those displays, they can get them way cheaper. Because when they sell them to Apple, they're marking them up, understandably, because Apple is a competitor. So that's why there were so many rumors about the iPad Pro being more expensive later this month, because of the OLED displays. So I think that is part of the issue. I think also Apple is reluctant to give so much more business to Samsung, because they are a rival ultimately, even though that part of the business is kind of sectioned off. It ultimately still goes into Samsung's pocket. So do they really want to be doing such massive orders for really expensive components and hand over even more money? Because the bigger OLED displays get, the more expensive they get, and the lower the yield is. Smartphone displays, Apple Watch displays, these things are way easier for them to manufacture and way cheaper. And Apple has different suppliers that it can go to. But for multiple suppliers to get supply chains up and running for Large displays, like you mentioned just there, like a 20-inch foldable is also rumored. We've heard about this from loads of sources now, so that definitely looks like it's happening long term. Supply chains to set that up will take a while. That's only happening now. They are building the assembly lines for these panels now. So that gives you an indication of how long it takes, because they've done, what, 3 or 4 years in engineering before building the product line, the assembly line. Then the production line is currently being constructed. And then by the time it actually is getting those units into devices, 2027. So these things do take time. But it does feel a little bit late.
Yeah, I just feel like that's, you know, it's going to be one of those things where, you know, like, oh, Samsung's had this for years, which I don't know how many Mac, I don't, that's the one thing. And I'm sincere, like, Samsung, if you want to send me one, I would love to check it out. I don't really look at their laptops a lot, or like keep up with what's going on as much as I do tablets and their phones and TVs and all that. I feel like they've had OLED Galaxy Books for a while. Look this up here. If you want to sing or entertain everyone, that's up to you.
Yeah, so I mean,
okay, hold on, I found it. No, you don't have to sing, you're fine.
Yeah, we
Galaxy Book 4 has AMOLED. Galaxy Book 3 had OLED, I think, is what I'm gathering here. Yeah, I mean, so at least the last couple of years. I just don't know why we're waiting so long here. It's not really that important per se, but what it is important is that we get it on, like, or just get better studio displays. I would love OLED. That would be amazing.
Mini LED would also be fine.
That's where I was ultimately going. Like, mini LED would be great. Getting ProMotion on a 27 inch would be kind of nice. I don't know if we'd get that. The Pro Display XDR should be beefed up a little bit. I don't know. There's a lot where, you know, Apple could go in with displays. They did those with LG, though, correct? I believe those are LG panels for the monitors.
I believe so. I'm actually not sure about the Pro Display XDR, but it sounds like that would be,
I'm like,
LG.
I'm pretty sure they used... I can't really say too much on that, but I'm pretty sure. I mean, they definitely have partnered with LG before in the past. They even made that monitor with them that was LG branded. But anyways, we're getting too far off the point here. Is that OLED would be the next point, or the next point of emphasis per se for the MacBook Air's future. You said here a Pro chip. I don't know if that's going to happen, but
it's what I'd like to happen. Because
MacBook Air like M3 Pro, that'd be,
yeah. Because I think that the kind of like the Mac Mini. So in the Mac Mini, you get the choice between the M2 and the M2 Pro. And that M2 Pro Mac Mini really does fill a really nice gap in the lineup, because if you don't need a Mac Studio, that is the Mac desktop to buy. It's absolutely perfect. And I would love to see the Pro variant of Apple's main silicon chip each generation come to at least the iMac and the MacBook Air.
Yeah, but so that's the thing, it's just like muddies up the lineup. Remember that whole episode we did where we went,
I think it does,
because then it's like, well, do you call it a MacBook Pro then? It's got a Pro chip in it.
No, not any more than you call the Mac Mini with the M2 Pro a Mac Mini
but
Pro.
there's nothing else like that besides the Mac Studio. And that does not have a Pro chip. So, like, it could kind of stand alone on its own thing. It doesn't, there's nothing else. There's no other desktop that has a Pro chip in it.
I can see that. I think it probably, what I'm saying is least defensible in the MacBook Air, but the iMac definitely should be able to have a Pro chip option.
You beat me to it. I was going to say, I'm still mad that we don't have, the M3 Pro version of an iMac. Also, look at you. You got a nice little sunlight coming in the back. Looks really nice behind you. I don't know if you know.
I need some more furniture, I think.
It's a new place. You're getting there. Unless you're living like Patrick Bateman style. Is that his name in the movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, good movie. Anyways, where do we go from here in terms of March? We are expecting more things, right? Are these rumors like legit? Because I got a little worried now that it didn't happen this week. We were very much expecting, not like we as a whole, I was very much expecting like Apple product week. We had M3 MacBook Airs on Monday. We'd get iPad Airs on Tuesday maybe. And then, you know, on Wednesday we got OLED iPads. I don't know, but it obviously didn't happen this week. Next week, what do you think? End of the month?
I don't know, but I can tell you this much: every Tuesday for the rest of this month, I'm going to be on Apple's newsroom refreshing it.
Why Tuesday? Because... Didn't the MacBook Airs?
Come oh out yeah, on the Monday? MacBook Air. It was on Monday, but yeah. Monday and Tuesday. Then I'm going to be doing it because Apple likes Tuesdays. So yeah, that's why I said Tuesday, but. I am expecting it. I think we all are.
Well,
I think
on. M2? When did the iPad Pro drop? M2 iPad Pro.
That was October 2022.
That was weird. It was the M1 iPad Pro that got dropped in 2020, right?
Yeah, but that was COVID year, so that was a weird year for announcements.
Well, that's what I was going to base it off, because that was also in March, I believe, because that was like right when COVID was happening. Or did they move it to May because they didn't want to drop things in March while COVID was happening? I don't know. It's all blending. Remember. It's all blending in to me. It's hard to predict this, but so I think Gurman said at the end of the month, though, he was thinking iPad Pros.
Yeah, I mean, it seems inevitable at this point. Particularly the iPad Pro. We're also expecting two new accessories now. It looks like the Apple Pencil. Whether it's a third gen Apple Pencil, whatever they call it, some sort of new Apple Pencil does also seem to be on the way. And we've also got this refreshed Magic Keyboard, which also is not a replacement for the existing Magic Keyboard. It's going to sit above it. So it probably won't be called the Magic Keyboard.
Magic Keyboard Pro.
Yeah, it's going to be a level above that. And then we've got the
keyboard
two new
Ultra.
iPad Air models. So, yeah.
We've talked about these before, but like, what are you excited about out of those?
I'm really interested to see the keyboard, because I really want to see if they can improve that experience, because I've had every iteration of the iPad Pro's keyboard, and they have got a lot better. You know, I'm remembering back, when was the first, it was with the first generation iPad Pro, and it was that sort of odd fabric keyboard that just felt horrible with no trackpad. And it was pretty useless.
Don't remind me of that.
Yeah, it was not a great experience. And then that progressed to like a folio version of that? And then it sort of developed a kickstand. And then we got the current version with this cantilever design. You get the USB-C ports. Obviously, you get backlighting and you get a trackpad. So if we follow the progression, what are we going to get this time? Are we going to get another USB-C port that you can actually use for data? We know we're expecting part of the casing to be made of metal. We're expecting a bigger trackpad. But what else? How does this change the function of the iPad Pro? Does this mean that it is more comfortable to use on your lap? Is it more comfortable to use on a desk? Because I find when I use my iPad Pro on a desk, I can't quite push the screen back far enough. So
yeah,
there's a lot of little sort of usability issues with it. The trackpad does feel a little bit weird. When you use a Mac trackpad all the time, it's almost too hard to click it. And it is because it's physically depressing, unlike the force clicking that you get with the Mac. So is this one going to be haptic as well? There's a lot of questions I have about that. So that's probably the thing I'm most interested in. The iPad Pro, I was excited for it a few months ago. But as I say, I'm kind of getting iPad Pro fatigue at this point. So I guess I'm more interested in the accessories.
I know you didn't mean it this way, but you're right. The trackpad on the Magic Keyboard is physically depressing. I'm just depressed every time I use it. It's just not as good as what you get on an actual MacBook. So if I could figure out a way to make that better.
It's got a few issues, right? It's too small. It's made of a different material.
I hate that physical press now.
It feels odd, but also it feels worse than when Mac trackpads used to physically depress.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's because it feels hollow, it feels plasticky, and maybe that's why they're moving toward having this metal top casing. But then what's
those,
the rest of it?
Those trackpads are glass, right? So we need to put...
Is it not glass? I think the iPad Pro...
Is the one on the trackpad still glass?
I think it must be glass, but it's just a tiny piece of glass. And I think whatever is going on behind that, it does not feel good. It does not feel the same as even a Mac trackpad that did physically depress years ago. So yeah, there's a bunch with it that needs to be revised. But you know, it's 4 years old now. I remember when we watched that. It was in COVID year, and it was that video with Craig Federighi showing off the iPad's trackpad experience or mouse experience for the first time, and with its kind of snapping to the UI elements. That was 4 years ago now. So we are overdue looking at this again.
I'm excited for that. I'm intrigued by the iPad Airs because I think that's probably the best iPad to get in theory.
Like in theory. Yeah, that's, I mean,
in theory, that's like the one discussion. That kind of, yeah. I mean, in theory, I feel like it's the best one because it can kind of do a little bit of everything, and it's like high end without being too high end, and it's not too low end.
Yeah.
Really, the best iPad to buy for your money is just getting the $279 ninth gen, whatever one it is. The one that still looks old.
Yeah, that's the ninth gen.
That's the one to get because it's just, you're still getting a good iPad experience and it's cheap. But
I think that when the 10th gen trickles down to that, that price point, that will be the iPad to get because you could also get that magic keyboard. What do they call it? Is it the Magic Keyboard Folio? Is that what they call it? But whatever that accessory is.
Is it the Smart Keyboard Folio or they add
Magic? Smart Keyboard Folio, that's it.
Smart, yeah.
I think they reserve Magic for their more expensive accessories.
Magic. Yeah, it's Smart Keyboard Folio.
There's not really a difference between Smart and Magic, but yeah. That is a good accessory. I really like the kickstand.
No, I'm wrong.
Are you?
Yeah. Wait a minute. No, I'm right. I'm confused. Magic, not Smart Magic. It's just Magic Keyboard Folio. You were right the first time.
Right.
So, yeah, it is that. And the Smart Keyboard Folio does exist. That's the one that we have had since the inception of the whole like keyboard case thing that happened on these iPads. It's the weird trackpad version.
You've now got the Apple Pencil with USB-C, which I know everyone was kind of bemused and disappointed by that when it came out because we were expecting these iPads, actually. That's what we thought was coming. So that's why there was a little bit of disappointment. But it is really important to remember that that does provide such a better experience with that entry-level iPad because now you can just use the same cable that you used to charge it to charge the Apple Pencil. No adapters. It doesn't feel like older technology. It's an updated design. And I think that if the price came down, that 10th gen iPad would be what I recommend for most average iPad buyers. If you are not a tech enthusiast, that is the iPad to buy, for me at least.
You ready to hear this take?
Go on.
The Smart Keyboard Folio that we just like said was not good. I actually do kind of like the way it feels when you type. I don't know what it is about it. It's weird, but I kind of liked it. I didn't like that it doesn't have a trackpad, but I actually did kind of like that. I felt like I could type super fast, and like the sound that it made was really satisfying for some reason because it was unlike any other keyboard sound I've ever had.
Maybe it was the fact that iPadOS just wasn't very good, and therefore I never had much reason to type on it for that long. But the one thing I did like about it was the version that they did. I think it was the third version of that keyboard, the one that came out with the 2018 iPad Pro, where they moved that kind of, it was like a kickstand, but not a kickstand. And it kind of magnetically clicked into one of two slots, and everyone got very angry because you couldn't change the viewing angles sufficiently. But it just felt so good when you flipped the iPad open and you moved it into one of those magnetic slots and it clicked in. It was very satisfying and it felt really sturdy. So I do kind of remember that a little bit nostalgically, but overall, it's just because the iPad Pro has just sort of disappointed me for quite some years. And now what I'm thinking is, if I do abandon the iPad, the thing that will enable me to abandon the iPad will be the Vision Pro. Because obviously I don't have a Vision Pro yet. It's not available in the UK. But if there is going to be an opportunity for me to move away from the iPad, I think the Vision Pro might do it.
You ready for the shock of the century?
Go on.
Ask me how many times I've used my Vision Pro in the last 2 weeks.
How many times have you used a Vision Pro?
I was on vacation for a week, so that doesn't count. Once for like 10 minutes.
Oh, what did you do in that 10 minutes?
I tried to find something to watch, but ultimately couldn't settle on anything, so took it off and went to bed. So it's not the Vision Pro's fault, but like,
Why are you not rushing to use it? What do you feel stopping you?
It's not the Vision Pro's fault. It's not you, it's me. You know, it's just, I don't think there's anything that I can do on there that I want to do with that on my head for long periods of time aside from watching content. And I am watching content with my wife, so I can't put that on my head. So it's just whenever there's a time where I can watch it. Also, the battery life is just straight garbage right now. And so whenever I do go to put it on, it's always dead. And then I have to charge it. And like, I keep forgetting to charge the extra battery. And that's a me thing. But so then I'm just like, well, I'll just watch TV on my TV because that's what I have been doing since I was born. So, I don't know. I'm going to be on a flight here. I'm also debating if I want to take it with me. That's the other thing. Oh. I don't know. It's not a bad product. I don't think it's bad. I do still think it's pretty incredible to experience, but like, I am not rushing to put it on, which I assumed was going to be the case. Working has been good on it, but I'm still faster just not having it on my head. My head doesn't hurt afterwards. Like, I don't know. Excited for Vision Pro 2 or Vision OS 2 though. So
you don't sound excited.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't want to get too into it right now, but
yeah, you don't want to be too downcast. You want to be too depressing about Vision Pro.
No, because I still think it's a really good product. I don't have the need for it right now that I'm like, yeah. But like watching movies inside, there's no better experience aside from like, unless you had a theater in your house. There is no better personal experience on a personal device. You're not going to get that on a phone. You're not going to get that on an iPad. You're not going to get that on a Mac. You might get something close on a TV if you've got a large enough, good enough setup. But even then, nothing beats putting that thing on, going into cinema mode, putting on some AirPods Pro, and just being immersed in that. Nothing beats it. However, it's still pretty uncomfortable after about an hour. And, that's just, and I don't want to really work on it, and I don't play a lot of games as it is, so really there's nothing else for me to do besides use it as an iPad. So it's funny that, you know, you were saying like, oh, I'm gonna get the iPad, and then I feel like you're just gonna fall into the same thing that I'm falling into, except you're more upset about it because you spent $3,500 instead of $1,500.
Well, if I don't buy an OLED iPad Pro and all the new accessories, then it kind of helps me justify the Vision Pro. Because if I've got to have an Apple device that I'm disappointed in and don't use, I've been disappointed
it's gonna be that
and don't
one.
Use the iPad for years, so may as well switch to Vision Pro. That's what I'm thinking.
That's what I think you're going to do, but I hope not. I really hope not. So,
well, I'm excited to try it. I am genuinely excited to try it.
You think it'll come before I see you in May?
I don't know. Otherwise, you better clean your light seal for me and get it ready, because I don't know if I'm going to be able to watch you using it without trying it myself.
Oh, I bought an extra light seal specifically for those people who want to try it. So, yes.
Well, I think that I will be very jealous when I do see you in May if everyone else has got their headsets on.
Oh, that'll be there. That. That needs to be a picture, though. It needs to be like everyone that can get one is using, like, I don't know. I think my vision is like everyone from the U.S. that has one is sitting on a couch using it, and then it's like U.S. other rest of the world, and then you guys are all just staring at us like, what the hell? Or just everyone's using it and Hartley's standing in the corner, like not using it, just looking like a sad boy. All right, that's our episode for this week. Let us know in the comments how you feel about the M3 MacBook Air, and what you're excited about with the next, you know, batch of products that should hopefully get released this month. Let us know, and we'll catch everybody in the next episode.